And in 3, 2. With Comic Pop Library, and you're listening to another episode of Comic Pop Visits brought to you by Comic Pop Library. We are here with Peter Pixie. Peter, again, thank you for being here with us.
My pleasure.
And we also have Louise, Logan, and April here as well.
Hello.
And we've been talking about the steampunk genre, the variety of different subgenres, and we're going to be getting into his main thing that he's been doing here lately, and that's emceeing at different events for people. Thank you for listening, and we'll continue on with our conversation. One of the things we left off with talking about the trains with steampunk, April's trying to picture it, and one of the things, I don't know how familiar you are with the anime. I know you are a little bit because you mentioned it with all the...
at least Steam Boy.
Steam, well, he mentioned Full Metal. But Trigun,
mm-hmm.
they yeah. actually had a series in the manga that was based around a train. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure about the anime, but they did have it based around in the manga.
So yeah.
There's one influence that, you know, April was trying to picture a scene where that might take place. So if somebody's out there wanting to kind of maybe see something. That
well, talking about steampunk anime, I don't know. A while back, I watched one that was called Desert Punk. Is it kind of the same? Is it the same thing or
Desert but, Punk?
Yeah, it's one of those subgenres. Weird West, Desert Punk.
Yeah, that's
there's
what I was
also
thinking
an
of.
Anime called Desert Punk. Isn't
yeah,
it?
That's what he's talking about. Mm-hmm. That's kind of a off-colored.
I think I saw the first episode of the Wichita.
Yes.
When I think of steampunk and anime or manga, the first thing that pops into my mind is Black Butler. And I'm not sure
really?
If that's...
I love Black Butler.
Well,
but
I love Black Butler too, but I don't know if it's because it's set in like kind of the Victorian
but I don't see
setting,
it as
but
a
I don't
steampunk,
see the steampunk
though. I don't see
there.
A steampunk in there. I kind of see it a little bit with one of his helpers. I don't remember. It's been a while since I watched it, but I guess the tall guy that's the chef, I guess. The way he dresses, I guess. That's how I see it. You know, like you said, they're the clothes.
Yeah.
That's how I
see
it.
I see the Victorian in there. I guess we don't see the modern day,
but I don't really.
Instinct makes you go to it because of the era.
Yeah, and I like that era. That's like
yes, me. That's
well,
how
I will tell you that as far as anime and manga goes with steampunk, back in 1967 there was one called Giant Robo, and then in 1973 there was Neo Human Cashern, and from there you move into Future Boy Conan, Galaxy Express 999, which was in 79, Sherlock Hound in 84, Robot Carnival in 87, and then you move into the 90s where you have Nadia, The Secret of Blue Water, Steam Detective, all kinds of Full Metal Alchemist starting in 2001. Yeah, it's hard to believe that's been around
so
long.
He knows all of this information, but can't remember Steampunk Giraffe.
Steam-powered Giraffe.
You need to start an account on Lumosity. Your brain needs work.
I meant to, but I kept forgetting.
But that's a joke, guys.
You're probably
clever.
You're like
I think
me.
I might have actually heard of Lumosity before.
Yeah.
Probably. You're kind of like me. I can remember a lot of stuff when I was younger, but here, the more recent stuff, it's kind of
Swiss
cheese. You
calling him old? Great.
No, I'm not old.
Well, I'm going to go off topic, but like, do you consider like Sherlock Holmes, the new movies that we've been, is that like steampunk? I kind of see that. That's how I see it, but I don't know.
With Robert Downey Jr.
Yes,
Sherlock.
The new Sherlock Holmes movies, the yes.
Mm-hmm. I would say that there are some punk elements to it, but I think what we really have to consider is it something that the key to steampunk in the neo-Victorian versus the regular Victorian is, are they doing things that were not being done at the time? If they're using the same tools but in a modern way, then that is where I think we get into the realm of punk versus just Victorian. If that makes sense.
I think it's okay. More just Victorian.
You think?
Well, I don't know. It's because, you know, like, all the stuff.
And there was a bit like a curse thing, but the bomb might stretch it, but.
No. Yeah, now the bomb they use, like, at the bottom. I don't, spoiler alert if anybody hasn't seen it. you know, where you know, they're going to release this gas and everything like that. That was steampunky in the fact that there was a, you know, this steam bomb. But. Again, you know, there was even a computer. I don't know if you're familiar with Lord Babbage's machine, but there was a computer design in the 1800s that was considered too expensive to make. And when they eventually made it, it did work. We could have had computers much earlier. Had people Charles Babbage Analytical Engine is what it's called.
Okay.
And there's even an adventure story that was used. Oh, speaking of Sherlock Holmes and in steampunk. In 1981, there was a book called Elementary Basic, Learning to Program Your Computer in Basic with Sherlock Holmes.
That's cool.
I don't think he's the person I'd go for advice on things. Like, I'm a beginner at this. Please explain step by step how to work this computer.
He would go way too fast. Yeah. Yeah.
And way too deep.
That's why you get him to write it down.
That's even worse because he's using all these big words that nobody knows what they mean but him.
That's why you get a dictionary.
Or just ask John.
Exactly.
There you go.
Well, John would be better at it anyways, because Sherlock's smart at stuff, but not everything.
True.
Well, yeah, I don't know if you're a big Sherlock fan, but for those of you who... I've been a fan since back in the 70s when I was younger, but learning that things like how many planets are in the sky was information that Sherlock Holmes would not maintain because it helped him in no way solve crime. So that's the kind of information he kept out of his head. I don't know. Kind of interesting.
I think we've really gotten a resurgence with the Cumberbatch show.
Sherlock.
We've really enjoyed it. So.
What? Where'd they get that name?
Well, I wanted to differentiate because there's...
Well, that's why I said Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah.
No, I got this book. It's like humongous and it's... the full collection of Sherlock tales, all the main stories, all the short stories, and it's like golden and like shiny, and it's got like the page holder.
Oh,
and really? I was like,
that's awesome!
It's like the Holy Grail.
If you are, it sounds like you're a big fan. So if you've not had the chance to listen to the BBC audio adventures that they made for Sherlock Holmes. It took them 10 years to record every single book, but they actually put them into an audio drama, and they were fantastic. Unfortunately, after they finished the first main group, which took them about 10 years, one of the main actors, I think it was the one who played Watson, I think he died. And when they wrote some new ones, they just weren't as good. They never really are.
That's
but,
cool.
But if you ever get a chance, they are fantastic.
That would be amazing to listen to. I love those kind of things on radio and stuff like that.
When we were little, I don't know if Dad still has them, but he had these like CDs that played, I think it was one for Spider-Man, maybe. And there was definitely one for Batman. Yep. And it was just like, The Adventures of Batman or whatever. And it was like this old school radio,
it's
like crackly stuff would tell the story. And I hated it, but I still remember it. And I was like, it was the most boring 2 hours or so of my life.
That's kind
of pretty
cool.
That's
cool.
Also have Star Wars on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
BBC did Star Wars.
That kind of reminds me of, I played this game called Fallout. And like in the radio, they'll have some stuff like that too. Like they'll have like The Adventures of... some ghoul and some monkey and stuff like that, but I like it because it makes it sound. I'm gonna explain it to you. Like they even add sound effects, you know, like he's like a detective and stuff like that. So like when they go into the door, they're making like the door squeak, and it's. I like those kind of things.
It's a better version of audiobooks.
Probably, yeah. You know, I've always found that very fascinating. You know, for me, like I love the 1950s. I don't know why. It's just. Just because of that, you know, not many people had TV, so they'll listen to the radio. And then, like, sometimes, I don't know if they did that in the 50s or not, but, like, I guess they'll have those little stories and stuff. And I don't know. I just always think that's always pretty cool to have.
Yeah, it's like the shadow. And my dad was really much, much older than my mother. He was in his 40s when he started his family. So, and that was in the 1970s. So his background comes from the late 30s, early 40s for his genre of entertainment. So the shadow and those kind of Abbott and Costello, those kind of amazing audio adventures really set the tone for me as well. So if you're a fan of audio adventures and you're a fan of Doctor Who and you've not listened to any of the Big Finish audio adventures, you've missed what got us through the desert when there was no Doctor Who on television.
Nice.
True, that was a few years. Well, that was kind of spotty even when the old shows were on. They kind of took a break a year or two sometimes. So, do you consider the new Doctor Who still slightly steampunkish or just the older series?
Well, even both series will sometimes play off of that. In fact, I would say the late Tennant, early Smith had this kind of punkish view of their TARDIS. More Tennant, I would say. I think that there are some elements, but in both series, they are truly more science fiction than steampunk, for sure.
Okay. I just remember.
Yeah, that's how I see it, too.
Some people have said Doctor Who's kind of steampunk, so I didn't know.
Maybe some certain episodes.
Yeah.
Sure.
If it's placed in the Victorian era, but not the whole series overall, I wouldn't say.
Well, and he's also, Matt Smith did put goggles on once, and if you ask some people, you put goggles on it and some gears, you've made steampunk.
Well, then you're just trying to be a hipster steampunk and everyone hates you.
Yeah. And I'll be honest with you, I've been wearing top hats. My look, for those of you who have not visited PeterPixie.com or my Facebook page, PeterPixieMC, or my like page, PeterPixie on Facebook, I have a lot of pictures of my outfits, and my wife makes all of my outfits, and they're all fantastic. But I wear top hats and, well, now they're 4-inch platform boots, and usually a vest or jackets of the Victorian type of style. I've been doing that since 2000, but I don't wear goggles. And some people have mistaken me for being steampunk, and I do have a sub-tachyon emitting audio modulating tool, a steam tool, that looks a lot like a steam sonic screwdriver that someone made me.
Nice.
And I do carry that just because it's cool. But it doesn't really do anything, but it looks cool. So other than that, I mix so much genres in my own life that, like I said, I'm more of a Time Lord than I am steampunk because I travel from – in fact, I had a revelation once in I was in the shower and I started laughing. My wife asked me what I was laughing about in the shower by myself. And what it was, I realized that I travel to crazy places. I meet interesting people. I have amazing adventures. I always have cool companions that travel with me. And I've got a really cool ride. I have a 2000 special edition purple Miata. And so I realized at 7, wanted to be a Time Lord, and I grew to be a Time Lord. So I got to do my dream job.
Yeah. Awesome. I think that's a good dovetail into where we're going to go to next, and that's conventions. We'll start off with one other type before we get into what you actually do at the conventions. And you've mentioned it with your clothes and your dress that your wife makes for you, but the cosplay element of steampunk. Is it kind of similar to the animation ones? Because usually the masters are considered masters because they make everything themselves. Is steampunk a little bit more forgiving because it has a little bit of technology, or do they still consider wanting to have the people do everything themselves if they can? Since you're in that world so much, you would have a little bit of knowledge.
I thank you. Yes, I do. I've hosted hundreds of conventions and over the last 14 years. One day I'll be an overnight success. But I will tell you that when it comes to cosplay, first and foremost, anybody who's listening to this, if you have any kind of inkling to put on some form of cosplay that you feel represents the character you want to wear, whether it's wearing three pieces of clothing over what you normally wear or designing skin out an amazing display, Either way, absolutely go out and do it. Don't hesitate. You cosplay in any way, shape, or form you want. In 1986, I don't know if you're familiar with the song Fish Heads, Roly-Poly Fish Heads. No, maybe not. It's an old song. It used to be on Dr. Demento all the time. But
Oh my gosh. Yes. I remember that.
Yeah. So you must be old too. So in 1986, I was at a convention called Encounter. I think it was Encounter 7 or 8. I forget which one it was. But I had this idea that we'd just wrap a sheet around me, and my best friend would wrap a sheet around him. We'd sing Sheet Heads rather than Fish Heads, and it would be funny. I was, 16 at the time. Of course it was funny. But he chickened out, so I got this other guy who was like, because I'm only 5'4", and this other guy was like 6'9 or something. And so between the two of us, wrapped in these sheets and just, actually, I think it was actual more like tablecloths. They were white tablecloths. And we sung in harmony by accident. So they gave us an award for it.
That is so cool.
Because we were just doing it to just have a laugh. And so at that point, I recognized, and I've been doing conventions since 1983 when I was 13. And I've done everything from attend to volunteer to create. Anime Festival Wichita was one that I helped start. I was the con chair on the first Anime Festival Wichita and spearheaded that, and I loved it. So cosplay, to answer your question, when they talk about masters of cosplay, I honestly think anybody who calls themselves a master of cosplay should get over themselves. Because you're dressing up. You're pretending to be someone else, whether it's Batman or Captain America, C-3PO, right. Darth Vader, or anybody in the picture I'm seeing here. anybody you want to be. I don't care if your Batman is, and I've seen some pretty interesting Batmans, and one guy in a roller skates wearing the bat signal over his private area. And the tutu set it off. But the point is, that is a self-expression. So, yes, you can spend a lot of time, energy, and money and make some flawless costumes. And I've seen some of it just blow me away. Halo armor is some of the hardest stuff to make. And I've seen people make it out of cardboard and make it look amazing.
Like Halo and Iron Man and Boba Fett. I've seen people make them themselves.
Yes. I've seen some amazing Iron Man. In fact, there was a group called, is it I-Force? I'm trying to remember what they're out of. They're here in Kansas, and they have a complete selection of armors.
Wow. Okay.
And they are incredible. They're so good that they get booked for conventions.
Wow. That's neat. That's neat.
Their father, one of the older guys, he looks like Stan Lee. So much so
that
so
cool.
at a convention. In the restaurant, I had a waitress tell me, yeah, I met Stan Lee. I explained to her that, no, it wasn't Stan Lee. She walked away and told her friends, yeah, it was really Stan Lee. She didn't believe me that it wasn't Stan Lee.
That's awesome. He was cosplaying as Stan Lee, which is...
Yeah.
That's what Obama said. I cosplay 24/7.
You know what's just pretty cool? I always like when people cosplay and like they actually look like it's that person they're cosplaying, which is, I always find that really cool.
White chicks got it hard, though. Because anime and manga, that's all Japanese style. I mean, I'm not saying that's not cool because it's really awesome, but come on, man.
Well, let's be honest. Most anime isn't drawn like Japanese people anyway.
No.
True.
No.
Big eyes, small mouth.
True. It's stylized.
That'd be kind of weird cosplay like a little chibi because you have to be a midget to play that. But
yeah, I always think when I'm like, oh, that'd be cool to cosplay as her, but she's super short. And I'm like... 5'9", roughly.
Huh. But you should go ahead and do it. That's really important. Crossplay. I don't know if you're familiar with the term crossplay or not.
Yes,
but that's where people of one sex are cosplaying as the alternate sex.
So many Sailor Moons.
Yes. Princess Leia.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I've also seen amazing femme crossplay, especially Hetalia.
Yep.
You get a lot of that.
That is true.
It's what I tell people is just be who you want to be. That's mostly what conventions are about. I started doing this because of Rocky Horror Picture Show, the message of which is don't dream it, be it. And that has been my motto for conventions.
Nice.
Whoever it is.
Janet?
Janet?
That's literally the only thing that pops into my head when anybody, any context says Janet, bam, straight there.
You're right, the Rocky Horror.
Oddly enough, that was the only part I've never played.
Well, I probably exposed April a little earlier to Rocky Horror Picture Show than what most parents probably do.
Honestly, if like a professional, I use air quotes, but if a professional family person came in and saw the back history of how me and Logan was raised, that wasn't a proper sentence. Already, you know, you can see some unconventional things or
sword in grade school.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
But you gotta, there you go. To put it in context before I get in trouble here, when they were in third and fourth grade, they were already reading at 11th and 12th grade level.
Mm-hmm. College, bro.
So it's kind of hard to hide themes from them when they're reading them in the books that they're reading because they're not interested in the little kid books anymore.
Except for Junie B. Jones. Some of them I'll read the crap out of those books.
Some of the little kids' books can be epic. I have no clue why, but they can be.
Some of them can be.
Alfred Hitchcock and the Three Investigators are some of my favorite books from childhood. Yeah,
they're still good.
I was watching this YouTube video.
My way to read, and you know, they're still good.
You know how they categorize the scary stories books as children's books? Do you know, guys know them, the scary stories?
Yeah.
I knew what you're talking about. Like scary
stories to read in the dark and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. They say it's more geared for the little kids, kind of horror.
Yeah, I remember that.
And I was watching the YouTube video, and it was like a 90s tag. Like, what do you remember from the 90s? And she was like, oh, I remember reading that. Those chokers remind me of that book where she had the green scarf on, and if she took it off, her head fell off. The children's book. I was like, oh my gosh. That sounds horrible.
Yeah, I remember that.
There's also the guy who dropped people into his meat processor.
Yep. True. Think.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you'd see them across the street. Me and
almost
Logan know
same
all about
thing
these.
As the demon barber, but
I got him started.
Sweeney Todd.
Sorry, Peter.
You didn't even get to this one. You got
to get back on what we're with Peter here. Yes.
That is a thing. Would you consider Sweeney Todd a steampunk thing? Because they did pull out the chair and everything, and
I would actually
doll that up.
I would call that horror. I mean, you had a chair that opened and fell through, but I mean, other than that, there's no real punkish thing about it. I mean, the clothing style was dark, but, and frankly, the movie was a poor imitation to Angela Lansbury's production, which was fantastic back on Broadway. But, I mean, of course, Tim Burton, you know, you can see his gothic horror kind of influenced the steampunk of today in some genres. So, and I've seen it steampunked out. I've seen a Jack Skellington and Sally steampunk, which was really cool.
That sounds nice. Cool.
Yeah, it does.
Anything Tim Burton steampunked? Sounds pretty cool.
With the convention end of your homegrown business, was that you're actually a master of ceremonies. You go around to the different conventions. And you don't necessarily have to be a convention per se, like a sci-fi or anime like we've been talking about, but I think you've done a couple of other different types of MCing through your career. Did that come about just naturally for you? Did you fall into it? Did somebody actually start you down that road, or how did that become about for you?
Well, we're gonna step back to the year 2001 and Rocky Horror Picture Show.
That's always
what
good.
Happened? Yeah. What happened was, first of all, Rocky Horror has inadvertently influenced most of my life, not on purpose, and frankly, I was bitter about it for a while. But I met my first wife in 1987 at Rocky Horror, and because when we had a son together, we were married 7 years, so we were married quite a while. But I kind of left Rocky, and then in 2000, I got a phone call from one of the people from way back in the day, who said, hey, we're going to reshow it. We'd like you to come. I said, I'm not paying to see that movie. I've seen it hundreds of times. I'm like, she said, you can get in for free. I said, okay, I'll come. So, and my current wife at the time had, she'd seen it. She's my wife now. We've been married for many years, since 1997. And but in 2000, we got the call, and I said, well, yeah, they're going to do it at the old Pawnee Pawnee Four like you did back in the day. And she said, well, let's go. So we went, and I ended up starting a cast because there was so much interest. And we moved to the Orpheum Theater in Wichita. And if you've not had a chance to visit the historic Orpheum Theater, it is a treat. The architecture is the first design of its kind. It's an atmospheric theater built in pre-electrified sound. So you could stand in the center of the theater, speak, and they can hear you all the way back in the of this 1,300-seat auditorium. It's just cool. Absolutely stunning and beautiful. So we took Rocky there. We took Rocky Horror there, and we needed a pre-show. We needed something to open the show with. So we did this fake band. I don't know if you're familiar with the movie Velvet Goldmine.
No.
It's got Ewan McGregor, Jonathan Rhys Meyers, and the guy who played Batman in it, Christian Bale, Tony Collette, wow. Eddie Izzard, and music by Michael Stipe. It's loosely based on the Iggy Pop, David Bowie story. It's an amazing display of 70s glam. Okay. Absolutely stunning. So one night while I was at Rocky, because we had our kids every other weekend because we have blended families, and I was it was a weekend we had children, so I was at the cast one night. My wife would go the next night. She had fallen asleep, woke up, and there was this thing happening on her screen that this guy was singing, and this was all happening, and she thought, wow, what a great pre-show this would make. So the guy singing had this top hat, and he had a boa around it, and these big boots, and this glitter, and oddly enough, was the same height I was. So we thought, okay, this would make a good pre-show. So we went ahead, and the leader of this particular group was Brian Molko from Placebo, the band Placebo. And so if you go to the record store, which we don't have anymore, but when we did, the band Placebo would be between the Pixies and Poison. And so my wife thought Pixie Poison would make a great band name. I know, a long story. I get it.
That is a good name.
We're getting to the point.
It is a good band name.
So we come up with this idea to call the band Pixie Poison.
Cool.
Yeah, and so we're going to do a fake rock band. We're going to do the same song, which was 20th Century Boy. You can Google it and see the video, YouTube video. And so 20th Century Boy, so we're going to just fake band it. We're just going to pretend to play because that's what you do at Rocky Horror. You got a fake cast. You got a fake band. It's going to work out. So, but we needed a leader, a lead singer. So I thought, okay, well, I'll do it. But we needed a name. So, well, it should be something based on the band. So Pixie. All right. Last name Pixie. But what's his first name? Well, my wife's favorite monkey from the Monkees is Peter Tork. So Peter Pixie was born on the stage in 2001. And we needed a host. So I just started hosting Rocky Horror. And then next thing you knew, I was hosting a convention. And then I was hosting another convention. And then I was hosting more conventions. And then people started paying me to do it, and it just kind of and that's where it all started.
Okay.
That's not bad.
That's cool.
Yeah, quite a story.
Ain't
the worst job in the world.
Definitely not. And you're pretty much booked through the summer, probably, because that's where most of your conventions are.
Yeah, it varies, but summertime into the fall, usually I have a lot in the fall. This year I've had a couple of conventions that are not doing it this year, so I have a couple of openings. So anybody needing a Master of Ceremonies, I'm open. I will tell you some of the most interesting things I've hosted. I hosted a mermaid convention in Florida once. Huh. And I will share with you that if you ever get to swim with a school of mermaids, absolutely do that.
Highlight, huh?
Were you yourself a mermaid?
No, I didn't actually put on a tail. I would have, I just never really got around to it. There were a couple of mermen, they were really great people. And I will also say that the highlight, though, the number one event, and I've hosted a lot of events, and I absolutely love them all, but the coolest one I can tell you, just because of what it was the 50th anniversary of Doctor Who in Dallas for the Who Fest, where they showed the 50th anniversary when it was broadcast.
Yeah.
That
would be awesome.
That would be cool. That would be cool.
Nice. Plan to go in March, ladies and gentlemen. In March of April, March of 2015, they're doing Who Fest, the second one, Dallas Who Fest, and they're going to actually have some guests from the show. So check it out. I'm slated to host it. So I hope you all come down and I'm just excited to return and get to work with some of my childhood icons.
We'll have to see what we can do. I know I told Logan we'd go to the anime festival in 2015 in the Dallas area.
There you go.
I can't remember when that is. I think it's around April, March, too. So
I know that there's a couple of them down there. Well, there are several of them down there, mostly because Funimation is down there and they're easy to get.
True. Makes it a lot easier. With the conventions, you've kind of talked about this already, but is there any bands that stood out to you throughout the years? Any cosplaying that you kind of mentioned, some of the funnier ones? The smaller conventions, maybe that might be a good thing. Talk about the atmosphere between the big conventions and the small conventions and the differences, the pros and cons, because there's pros and cons for both. So if you kind of go through that since you've been to so many and kind of let the people know what they're like.
Well, you know, when you go to a convention, one of the things you do want to weigh is how big is it going to be? Because depending on how much you're willing to pay and how much time you're willing to put towards seeing the people you like, the guests and such, there are small conventions like the one I'm doing in Arkansas in June. It's a brand new convention. If they get 300 to 500 people, well, that'll be very exciting to see. Then there are conventions like Tokyo and Tulsa, which is some of the best times you're ever going to have at a convention. I do conventions, and a lot of people who do them well. Nobody does them better than Tokyo and Tulsa. They are the quintessential. Anime Iowa does a great job too. I really enjoy it. But as far as my personal best, I would say that as far as size goes, Tokyo and Tulsa is a medium-sized convention. They usually get about 6,000 people or less. They get more every year, but last year I think they got about 6,000. Okay. And it's big enough to get big-name stars and still get a chance to see them, but it's not a line convention. A line con, in my opinion, is a waste of your money.
Okay.
And that's my personal opinion. There are people who swear by them. Dragon Con, SDCC, Acon, all these really huge ones where they have multiple tracks. Here's my point. If you have to stand in line for more than 2 hours to see somebody, you're standing too long. Mm-hmm. But that's just me. In some places like SDCC, San Diego Comic Con, those kind of things, you have to get in line for hours to get a ticket to get in line to see somebody that you may not actually get in to see.
That's true. I've heard those stories.
Yeah, we talked about it on Hour 42 once because we said that somebody will get killed one day. And sadly and depressingly and angrily, I'm mad about it. With the Twilight track they had at SDCC, they had people, the line was so long, it was going across the street and down. And then they said, well, everybody needs to go across the street. This woman, who was in her 40s, was running across the street to get in a line and got hit by a car.
I remember that story.
And
I remember that.
I was angry about that because that's not, you know, I've been doing conventions since the 80s, and I can promise you that if you're having to stand in line that long, you're missing a convention. I don't know what you're doing except standing in line, but you're missing a convention. So, but people want to pay that kind of money, that's fine. Yeah. You know, SDC sells out in less than 2 days. That's, what, 10,000, 20,000 tickets?
True.
That's insane.
I pretty much don't look forward to getting one of those. It's too expensive. And
you've kind of got to think it's also about the name. It's not always about the actual con itself. It's just the bragging rights of I got to go, you know. Because of that, Comic-Con is kind of the holy grail of nerddom, of geekdom, you know.
Yeah.
Once you
for
hit
the
there. That's true. But, Kev... Okay, I'm a little confused on this. What is it, Master?
Master of Ceremonies.
Master of Ceremonies do. Is he like the person that's at the cosplay contest announcing it? What do you do?
Yes, that's an excellent question, and thank you for that. Yes, part of my responsibilities is almost always hosting the cosplay contests, or sometimes they call them masquerades, which always confused me because I always used to dance at masquerades. And now they're new term. So, but yeah, fashion shows. Sometimes they call them cosplay fashion shows, and I will host. Any type of contest that they'll have. I will do opening and closing ceremonies. I introduce special guests. That's part of what I do. The other part of what I do is I'm your host. I'm the guy that will be everywhere all the time. People, Peter, I just saw you over there. Yep, and here I am here. And what I do is I just make sure everybody's having a good time. If I'm there and it's like you're at somebody's house and that they're hosting your party. And that's what I do. I'm a professional party host, if you will. And so in addition to
a social butterfly,
and the parties are huge.
I will say, I will be on stage and I'll be like, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to, and I'll say, you know, what have you. But then and that's on the general level, but on the personal level, because I will introduce bands during the concerts and all kinds of other things. But on a personal level, I will walk around and I will talk to people and I will genuinely show, because I'm quintessentially still that 13-year-old who used to go to conventions back when it was not cool to go to conventions, back when wearing a Star Trek shirt got you beat up. That's true. I'm still that kid, but I'm now 44, and I know that those kids who are 12 and 13 and 15 and 19 and 25, because I've watched so many of them grow up and have children now, and but I'm that guy that tells you it's okay to be you. And I know that sounds like an odd thing to do, but that primarily is what I do, is just make sure people feel comfortable and know that they are welcome.
Luis, Logan, did you have anything else you want to ask Peter?
I don't think so.
Okay.
No, not really, no.
Let's see. I want to mention some of your upcoming... Oh, I also want to mention this. And I don't know if it's ever come to pass in any of the conventions you're at, but you also are ordained minister. So you can do marriages. Have you ever done any of those at a convention yet?
That's actually why I initially got ordained. The first wedding I ever performed was done. There was a couple who were engaged at an anime festival, Wichita, and they wanted to get married the next year at Anime Festival Wichita, and they wanted me to perform it. So I went ahead and I became ordained to do so, and he was dressed as the Joker, and she was dressed as Harley, and they had really cute outfits for their bridesmaids. So, I do perform weddings sometimes. That's the one I performed at the convention. But since then, I've married people in their backyard pool. I've married people in the middle of the woods. I've married people at Cowtown. To liken it to gamer, you know, I'm a level one cleric, so I do all those things that nobody else will do. And I'm completely happy to do so because, you know, I've been married between my two, between the first marriage and this current second marriage. I've been married for 20 some years now. So I don't know if I'm doing it right, but at least I have the experiences to know when I'm doing it wrong. So,
okay. I don't know. Possibly, I might be able to get this out before AnimeCon Arkansas, but you have that coming up. The Anime Festival Wichita. I know that is actually the weekend of June 27th through 25th, but what are the dates for the Arkansas one, just for people that might be interested?
I believe it's 2 weeks before then. Let me get you the exact date here. The actual dates for Anime Arkansas. Anime Con Arkansas, is June 7th and 8th of 2014. Okay.
And then you'll be in Tulsa again for Tokyo Tulsa in July, looks like. So you got June and July set up. You said you had a few dates, so if people are interested, go to your website or Facebook page to get in touch with you.
Absolutely.
Okay. And if you happen to be going to one of those events, sounds like Peter's more than willing to visit with people when they go there. So look him up.
That's what I love.
And we're, like I said, we are planning to attend Anime Festival Wichita this year for the first time. We've gone to Denver, we've gone to Kansas City, so we're taking a break and going to a smaller end in Wichita. So if you're going to be there, hopefully we'll run into each other and just visit there as well.
This is the 10th year for Anime Festival Wichita, so it's a big year. Chuck Hubert's going to be there. It's going to be a great time. I hope that everybody who can come out does. It is the same weekend as SoonerCon, which is another convention that I normally host, but couldn't because I was already booked for AFW. So for those of you not attending SoonerCon, I hope you'll come up and join us. And if you guys bring your equipment, maybe we can do a broadcast from AFW.
I know we have a portable digital recorder, just one of those handhelds. So
all right.
We rarely have ever used it, but we have it.
Oh, I've used it. I think I've been
at least
to
once after a movie for one of those, but
right.
Apparently April does not like recording in Burger King.
She's kind of, yeah, we're a little bit too weird for that, so we couldn't do that. But we've taken our digital recorder to, just went blank, Exploration Place.
Oh, yeah.
And visited with them on a couple of their exhibits. I think when Star Wars was there and when they had the Cartoon Network exhibit there, we visited with them. So,
we'll have
to see what we can do and visit with you. If nothing else, just visit in general, just to say hi and have fun. So, go ahead, Logan.
Have you seen the Japanese movie, The Magic Hour?
Magic Hour. I have not seen Magic Hour.
It's not an anime. It's a
live action.
Yeah. It is good.
He asked everybody.
The Japanese movie, The Magic Hour. I have no clue which American movie called Magic Hour, but the Japanese movie called The Magic Hour.
Yes, I will look that up and I will watch that. That's the guy. That's the one with the guy tied up with his water, with feet in the bucket, right?
That's one scene.
Yeah,
I know it's a comedy with kind of gangster type show. Yeah.
So. That actor who thinks
he's
that
an assassin?
That thinks he's playing the part of an assassin in a movie.
Yes.
Huh.
So we haven't found that one actually to purchase for Logan yet, but he got to watch most of it.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
But like I said, to get in touch with you, Peter, that's at peterpixie.com. That's PIXIE.com. Your Facebook page, just look under Peter Pixie and you'll be able to find his page there. And you mentioned one other page on Facebook?
I have a like page for just conventions, and that's just Peter Pixie. But my friend's page is Peter Pixie MC, which being in Kansas, a little more verbose about politics and that kind of thing, simply because, I live in Kansas.
Okay.
And we kind of have to be right now, sadly. But if you like to just follow my convention, please visit my like page. But I'm always happy to share my thoughts and opinions and hear yours as well.
And to put it out there, and like I said, I'll hopefully we'll run into each other in June. But if you have anything that you know that's going on that we can help promote, that's one of the things we are trying to do within the library world as well as the general listeners as well. Let us know and we can promote it for you either by posting it on our webpage or doing a quick podcast, even if it's just 10 minutes, 15 minutes, just to get some promotion out there. We're trying to become a voice to help people out, so... If you ever run into something, think of us, and we'll help you out as well.
Well, it's been my honor to be a part of your show, and if you ever need someone to come back, I'm always happy to come back.
All righty. Appreciate it, Peter. You enjoy your evening.
Yep. Oh, you too, and thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
See you later.
Are we going to do a plug?
Oh, Peter.
What's that?
I thought we did two already.
April.
What's that?
A lot of times when we have guests, we ask if they want to do a bumper for us.
I used to do those as well.
Would you like to do one of those for our main podcast?
It would be my honor.
Okay. It'd just be, I'm Peter Pixie, and you're listening to Comic Pop Library. That'd be it. So, got clear voice. Huh?
Got to sound nice and clear.
Let me know when you're ready.
Okay. In 3, 2, 1.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Peter Pixie, and you're listening to Comic Pop Library.
Cool. Sounds good.
Good enough for me?
Sounds good. Thank you, Peter.
Actually, can I do that one more time? Sure. I didn't say library. I said library, and that embarrasses me. So
Dad like does that.
Oh, I have an accent. Okay, let's have a do it again. So 3, 3, 2, 1.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Peter Pixie, and you're listening to Comic Pop Library.
All righty. There we go.
Cool.
All right. Thank you, Peter.
You're welcome. My pleasure. And if there's anything I can ever do for you, please let me know.
Okay. Tell your wife thank you for giving us the time.
I will do that.
All right. We'll talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.
You are listening to Comic Pop Visits with our special guest, Peter Pixie, Master of Ceremonies and Knowledge of Steampunk. If you'd like to get in touch with Peter, you can do so on his webpage, peterpixie.com. Click the contact link, and that will allow you to reach his agent to discuss an event you wish him to preside over. You can also follow Peter on Facebook just by looking up Peter Pixie or Peter Pixie MC.
Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any publisher, distributor, or studio, and it is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show hosts are their own and are not reflective in any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.